It was a beautiful afternoon on Easter Sunday in 2009 as Doug White, his wife, and two daughters boarded the chartered airplane to fly home. As they settled into their seats, pilot Joe Kabuk made his final adjustments to the instruments in the cockpit. Everything seemed fine as the plane took off from the runway and lifted into the sky. But just minutes into the flight, something went terribly wrong. Without any warning, pilot Joe Kabuk let out a moan, lurched forward, and collapsed unconscious. Doug White tried to revive the pilot, but it was of no use. Pilot Joe Kabuk had died instantly while flying the airplane. Doug White stared in disbelief at the pilot and then at the instrument panel of the plane. The airplane was climbing at a rate of 1,500 feet per minute, and Doug had no idea how to fly the plane. He knew that unless someone came to his rescue, he and his family would surely be killed. Quickly, Doug grabbed the radio. "Help me," he cried. "The pilot is dead, and I don't know how to fly this plane." Immediately, the voice came back over the radio from the nearest airport. "Sir, if you can follow my instructions, you can land this plane. Just do what I tell you, and I will bring you home safely. I will talk you through the entire landing if you will just follow my commands." Doug White was shaking. His wife was crying. His daughters were praying. He didn't know if he could land the plane. He didn't know what to do. He'd never flown this plane before. But then it dawned on him. He didn't need to know how to fly the plane. He only needed to follow instructions. If he could do exactly what the air traffic controller told him, he would be fine. And that's exactly what happened. The air traffic controller told him which lever to pull, and Doug pulled it. She told him which buttons to push, and he pushed them. She talked him all the way through flying the plane and right into a smooth landing at the airport. Doug White was able to land the plane safely, and his family was rescued simply because he followed. The true story of Doug White and his miraculous flight provides a powerful lesson for all of us this morning. For you see, we all face a situation like him of life and death. All of us are on a journey through life for which we are unprepared and unable. All of us lack the ability to safely navigate life's daily decisions. We need the powerful guiding hand of our Lord to direct us through and land us safely at our destination. Fortunately for all of us, Jesus Christ is there for us. He has the answers to all our questions. He knows the way forward and how to keep us in this life. All we need to do is follow Him, to listen to His voice and obey His commands. If we will reject our doubts and fears and yield control of our lives to God, we're guaranteed safe arrival. If we surrender control to Him, we will reach our destination. That's the truth of our message this morning in a sermon entitled, "I Surrender." We're going to discover exactly what it means to be a disciple as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we go on, let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we thank you for bringing us into your presence today. Thank you that we have a God we can depend upon to guide us through every challenge and decision in life. Thank you that you're watching over us and you proclaim to us that your sheep will hear your voice and follow you. So give us ears to hear this morning, Lord. Open the eyes of our spirits to give us understanding that we might know how we can follow you and land safely in our destination. I submit everyone here to you. I bind every spiritual force of darkness, every voice that would come to deceive or disturb or distract or condemn us today. We command it to be silent in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over this arena, and I loose the Spirit of the living God to enlighten our hearts with the truth, that you might be glorified, that we might be blessed, and that the world might be changed. We thank you now in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. I want to invite you to pray with me. If you would, put your hand on your chest and say, "Lord Jesus, speak to my heart, change my life, manifest your glory in me, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good morning once again. Welcome to Agape House. It's great to have you with us today. If you're joining us online or via our television broadcast, we say a warm welcome to you too. I trust that the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus will be manifested right where you are. If you're ever in Accra, we invite you to join us physically at Agape House in East Lagan. A warm welcome awaits you. Well, I'm glad that you're here with me this morning as we begin our new sermon series called I Am a Disciple. I'm so excited because over the next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at what Jesus said it really meant to follow him and the impact that will have on our lives. We're going to be looking at the DNA of a disciple each week, one of those statements that Christ made about what a disciple is and what a disciple does. And to help us discover the truth this morning, we've printed sermon notes. They look like this. They're inside your bulletin, and I invite you to take them out right now as we begin our journey discovering the DNA of a disciple. Now, there at the top of your notes is our scripture text for today. It's found in Matthew 16:24. It's also on the screen behind me. There it is. And it's on your smartphone, your tablet, or your laptop on youversion.com. If you look at the back of your notes, you'll find instructions how you can always access all the sermon notes and study guides at Agape House online at YouVersion. God will bless you as you do that. If you know someone who lives outside of Greater Accra, you can direct them to YouVersion as well, and they can keep up with our messages there. But I believe the Word of God has the greatest impact when it leaves the paper and gets into our heart and comes out on our lips. So I'm going to ask you to read this out loud together with me this morning. Matthew 16:24, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ready? Let's read it loud and clear like we mean it. Here we go. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." May the Lord bless the reading of his word to your heart today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, let's take a few minutes as we begin our journey this morning to break down this simple instruction from our Lord and unpack three truths about what it means to be a disciple. And here's our first truth this morning about the DNA of a disciple. It's the call to be a disciple. If you would, take your pen and fill in the blank with the word call, and let's remember how Jesus began this preliminary statement about discipleship. He said, whoever. Somebody say that with me. Whoever. Whoever. Tell your neighbor that means you. That means you. Come on, you can tell them whoever. That means you. Or you don't know what whoever means. Whoever wants to be my disciple. Now, this is an important truth because at first glance, when we hear the word disciple, a lot of us probably think, oh, he's talking about Peter or James or John. Some of you may have even thought that the sermon series titled I'm a Disciple meant that Nathaniel or Judas was going to come and talk to us today. But the actual fact is, when the Bible talks about a disciple, it's not just talking about the people who follow Jesus when he lived on earth. It's actually talking about whoever will answer the call. If you rephrase this passage and rethink the word disciple, we can understand this. To be a disciple of Jesus simply means we're called to follow him. And we can all be his disciples when we follow Jesus Christ. For the call to discipleship was not just made to those who lived when Jesus lived. The call to discipleship isn't just for some special anointed archbishops or prophets. The call to discipleship comes from Jesus clearly. It's a call to follow Jesus, and it's made to everyone, because he said, whoever. And here's the good news we can get excited about this morning. God loves everyone. His invitation is available for everyone. He calls everyone everywhere to come and join in the wonderful life that he gives. Just listen to some of the ways that the Bible talks about whoever. One of the greatest words in the Bible, whoever. Whoever confesses me, Jesus said, before men, I will confess before my Father in heaven. Whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst again. Whoever believes in Jesus will never die. Whoever believes in him receives forgiveness of sin. Whoever keeps his word, the love of God is in him. Whoever confesses Jesus as Lord is born of God. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Whoever desires, let him come and take the water of life freely. Over and over again, God throws wide the gates and opens up the door and says, whoever wants to, you can receive from me. Anyone, everyone, whoever. Oh, can you grasp that truth? truth today. The way is open for you. The chance is available for you. You may be poor, but you are whoever. You may be weak, but you are whoever. You may be from a small village and a poor family, but you qualify as whoever. That's why Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If any man will come after me. And friend, this is the truth today. If any one of us wants to be with Jesus, if any of us wants to know him, if any of us want to receive his salvation and his life, his hope and his deliverance, if any one of us desires eternity with him, we have the opportunity because anyone can come because everyone is called. You know something, friends? This is a problem we have in the church today, though, because I think a lot of Christians think that there are two categories of Christians. They think that there are some super Christians who are really special and really devoted and really committed, who are holy and specially anointed. And then there's everybody else who just sits in the chair and tries to hang on and hope for heaven. We've separated Christianity into two groups, the committed and the uncommitted. And we even talk like that. When somebody says, oh, is your brother a Christian? We say, well, he's a Christian, but not a real one. Or, oh yeah, she's a Christian, but she's not very committed. But here's the facts, friend. Everyone is called to be a disciple. Everyone is called to follow. Whoever, any man, all of us can come because all of us are called. That's what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And when Peter spoke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wasn't speaking to an individual, for he said, you are a nation. He wasn't speaking only to the people in that day and age, for the word of God has come down to us that we might be partakers in its truth. He was speaking to the people of God, every believer, every Christian. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You are the people of God. It's not only Reverend Evans or Pastor Andy or myself that have been called. It's not just some archbishops or some prophets. It's not people like Mother Teresa or Billy Graham. You are called. You are his possession. You are the people of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Lift up your hand and say, I am a disciple. And the beautiful thing about God's availability to us and to our call to follow is that it doesn't require special talents, abilities, or status. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, brothers and sisters, all of us here, think of what you were when you were called. Before you were called to follow Jesus, when he called you, this is what you were. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Tell your neighbor, that's why he chose you. Hallelujah. Anyone can follow. You don't have to be special. You don't have to have this degree or that pedigree. It's simple. You're not asked to find your own way. You're not asked to make up your own path. You're not required to know anything except to know the one who calls you to follow. When you think about it, follow is the most simple, the most basic command in the Bible. Even a child can follow. Anybody can follow. Whether the task is difficult or whether it's simple, we can all follow. For example, if I were to invite you to go to a certain venue later today, maybe I said, let's go to the Mövenpick for lunch. You're buying. Hallelujah. And you say, well, Reverend, I don't know there. I don't know how to get there. Say, don't worry. I'm going. You simply follow me. And when you follow, you can go places you didn't know. Perhaps most of us don't know how to play the keyboard, but I tell you, if Dennis or Obed were over there and telling us where to put our fingers and how to move, we could click out a tune even though we've never played before because we simply follow. For someone like Doug White, who saved his family's life because he followed, we can understand that you can do difficult and simple tasks when you simply follow. It's one of the most basic commands. Anyone can do it. Follow me. So if anyone can be a disciple, and the invitation is open to everyone, and you don't need special gifts or skills, then why are so few people following Jesus? Why don't more people become disciples? Because, see, there is one thing you have to do. You have to choose. All that is required for you to become a disciple of Jesus Christ is to make the choice. That's why Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple. And the fact is, following Jesus is a choice you make. As it says in Joshua 24:15, but if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. And here is the dividing line between the disciples and those who simply claim to be Christians but are not. You've got to make a choice. The problem is today, many have chosen to believe, but they've not chosen to serve. Many have chosen to join the church, but they've not chosen to follow. Many have chosen to accept certain doctrines, but they've not accepted the commands of Christ. It's one thing to choose to believe and join a church. It's another thing to choose to serve. It's another thing to choose to follow. And many have accepted part of Jesus, but not all. But partial obedience is always disobedience. Giving Jesus your Sundays while you maintain control over your Mondays to Fridays is not discipleship. And any time we try to hold on to a part of our life and refuse to surrender to Him, we end up in trouble. Reminds me of the man who was wanting to go to U.S. He owned a small house in the village and he got an offer to go to school in the U.S., but he needed to raise some capital for his journey. So he decided to sell his small home in the village. He wanted $2,000. Well, there was someone who wanted to buy it, but he didn't want to pay that price. And so they negotiated back and forth, but the seller really needed a certain sum of money to get his ticket, and it wasn't easy. And finally, the seller said this, "Listen, I will sell you almost all of the house for the price you quote, but I will retain ownership of the front wall of the parlor. I'm keeping the wall in the parlor. You can have the rest. You can have the rooms, the kitchen, the bedroom, the toilet, everything, but the front wall, I will keep it, and then I will agree for your price." Well, the buyer was happy. He paid the money. They wrote a contract, and the man took possession of all the house except the wall in the parlor. The former seller went to the U.S., did his schooling, and came back. And when he came back, he wanted to take back his house. He wanted possession of his house. So he went to the current occupant and said, "I'd like to buy my house back, the portion that you've bought from me." But the current occupant said, "No, I'm happy here. I don't want to sell. I'm going to stay." So this is what the former owner, the original owner, did. He went and took some nails and a hammer, and he nailed some nails into his wall that he owned. Then he went and got the carcasses of dead animals and nailed them on those pegs. And when the flesh started to rot and the fur started to fall and the stench became bad, the current occupant couldn't stay there any longer, and he had to pack up and go. The fact is, friend, if you leave the devil with even one small peg in your life, he will return to hang his rotting garbage on it, making it unfit for your habitation. If you've left some place unyielded to Jesus, then the devil has access, and you will never enter into the life of a disciple unless you surrender all and pay the price. I have good news for you today, friends. No matter who you are, or what you've done, or what you haven't done, God is calling you. He's calling you to be His disciple. And the good news is that God calls anyone and everyone to follow Him. It doesn't take special talent or ability. It just requires a willingness to follow Jesus Christ. You know, friends, I hear the Spirit of the living God telling me that He's calling so many today. He's calling all who are watching or listening to this broadcast. The Spirit of the Lord is telling us all that it's time to go deeper, deeper in faith, deeper in commitment, deeper in obedience to the Lord. And that's what this series, I Am a Disciple, is all about. Over the next few months, we're going to study the words of Jesus Christ Himself to find out exactly what He means when He calls you and I to be His disciples. We've started today, and I trust that God has already ministered truth to your heart. Well, next week, we're going to continue this journey as I teach part two of this message. I trust that you will join me next week at this very time on this station for the conclusion of this powerful message, I Surrender. But before we close today, let's take a moment to pray together. Would you bow your head and pray with me? Almighty and everlasting Father, thank you so much for each and everyone watching this broadcast or listening to my message today. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would come upon them in power and minister your truth with revelation that will change and transform their lives. I bless them today that they might follow you in obedience and become the disciple you've called them to be. And I thank you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, God richly bless you. Thanks for joining me today. I'll see you next week right here on Revelation.